Just wanted to talk about during these times of quarantine, we may not feel encouraged. We may be down, thinking that God's not there with us, that we're all alone. But God's always going to be there with us. We're always going to be able to talk to God and pray whenever He's there. And I just wanted to say that during these times, it's hard to live for God without anyone there with you, without having encouragement. But going to service and seeing the youth there, seeing the people that were praying, it gives you joy, it gives you encouragement, and you can just feel the presence of God wherever you're at in that service. And the anointing was just upon you. Like, I couldn't stop praying at any moment, singing, praying, any of that. It just flowed upon me. And I just want to say that God will always be there for us. Whatever we do, wherever we're at, God will always be there for us.
All right. Very good, Benjamin. Yes, the service was really, really touching today. And you can just see some of the faces of the young people light up, you know, as we got into service. And the second person that I want to bring is Sister Naomi Roseberry. Are you there? Sister Naomi?
Hello?
Yep. All right, let me say one thing about you. I want to say that, Naomi, it is a pleasure to see you grow up and how you've become such a great example to our young girls. And even at a young age, I've noticed that you have a really good head on your shoulders. I think you said that you want to be an engineer. So that in and of itself speaks volumes that you are on the right path in life. Just joking. So, but you have a great head on your shoulders, and you have a lot of wisdom even at a young age. So I want to give you the floor and give us what's on your heart.
Well, thank you for your kind words, and thank you for this opportunity to speak. I am honored. I was thinking about what I should say, and one of the things that kept coming to my mind, and I've been thinking about it for a few days now, is a lesson that I learned a while ago and has been reinforced during this time, and that is our lives were never meant to be success stories. In Jeremiah 18:3-4, it says, "Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it." And I noticed how he said that he went down to the potter's house, not up. He had to be in a low place to be molded again. But the vessel didn't stay in a low place. It was made new. This is not a story of success because the vessel wasn't perfect the first time. It's a story of redemption and renewal. Junior high was a turning point for me, and I came from elementary school and was thrown headfirst into a vat of sin and heartache. Right from the beginning, I had to make a decision. It would be so easy to join everyone else, to smoke their weed behind the locker rooms, to bring alcohol to school in a hydro flask, and to do things that no young person should do, just to have a large group of friends. But I chose to live for God in spite of everything going on around me. And trust me, it was never easy. There were lots of lunches I spent sitting alone. There were many hateful people. There was peer pressure and many, many difficult decisions. But it's all been worth the preservation of my soul. But a lot of times I wondered why it couldn't be easy. If I was trying my very hardest to do right, then why did I run into so many problems? And I realized when you witness to someone, you don't tell them that God has blessed me with a $6 million house, 2 Ferraris, and a high social status in my social group. You tell them about what God brought you out of and how he cleansed you of your sins and how he saved your soul. Because our lives were not meant to be success stories, though success will come. They are the story of overcoming, of healing, and the gaining of strength. Thank you for your time and attention. That's all I have for tonight, and God bless you.
Wow, that was really good, Naomi. I need to get my notes from you next time. No, that was really good, and there's a lot to take from for all the young people, that you can make a stand at school no matter what's going on, if there's pressure around you, peer pressure from your friends or from people around you, that you can stand out, and that you're serving a greater purpose than just trying to be cool just for a few years. But thank you for that, Sister Naomi. And the next person that I want to give the floor to is Jeremiah. Is Brother Jeremiah on the line? Jeremiah?
Yeah, excuse me?
That's yep, me. Okay. All right, yeah, let me say a few things about you first, and I'll give you the floor. First, I want to say that I'm really excited to hear what you have to say, Jeremiah. I remember when you were just a little guy and I was tutoring you in math, and you know what? Today it seemed like God really got to touch you, and you walked into church with a big old smile. I remember just seeing you just walk in. You were so happy to see everybody, and I'm just excited to hear what you have to say. So the floor is yours, bro.
All right, thank you, Brother Sean. I appreciate that. Well, praise the Lord, church. Wow, did we have church this morning? That's insane. I won't be long at all. I barely had any time to prepare for this. But before I start my message, I would like to give a personal thanks to whoever brought those boxes of donuts, those two boxes. You're definitely a lifesaver for that. Wow, did it feel awesome today to have some church in the morning? Immediately, when I opened the doors of the sanctuary, I felt such an amazing anointing, a powerful presence. Church, everybody was on fire. We were having some Acts 2:38 true church experience. Woo! What an amazing preaching we had today, Pastor. And this is adding on, but I just really wanted to thank just the congregation and just Pastor Clark and Sister Clark just for everything, just for being just wholesome and just true people. I just really just wanted to take time to thank you guys for that. And I would also like to add on, Pastor's teaching really spoke to me. Like, when Brother Sean asked me today, for instance, to testify tonight, I was at first a little shaky. Stepping out of my comfort zone is not fun. But I started to remember Pastor's preaching about talents and how pressure will push you to things you've never imagined. And I went to Matthew 25:25. You guys don't have to go to that. And it says, "And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth." That's the scripture Pastor read today in church. However, how I relate to this, it's to me as a young person in high school, someone can easily hide or forget their talents. There's various reasons why a young person would do that. Peer pressure, trying to fit in, listening to too much secular music, being timid and afraid, not being able to lift up and speak your voice. I'm here to tell you, young people, that the world has nothing good to offer you. Nothing good. Just at church, I was just, I'm just getting off track here. This is not a part of my notes. Let's just close that. When I stepped into the sanctuary of church, I felt the most amazing presence. I just felt refreshed. I felt clean. I felt it was just amazing. And I just really wanted to thank you, Pastor, for, I know you didn't have to do that, this whole COVID thing. You know, I really wanted to thank you for having the youth go. It was, I'm really glad you did that. Thank you so much. And I just wanted to close this off with a scripture that helps me. It's in Philippians 4:13. It's a very basic scripture, but the scripture means a lot to me. It's, my grandma told me this one. It says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Wow, church, that is just so powerful. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Jesus, thank God. You know, church, I promised I wouldn't be long, but I'm just feeling the presence of the Lord.
Amen. Well, thank you, Brother Jeremiah, for that. And you said something there. The world has nothing to offer you, young people. That is the truth. Having not been born in church, I know that for a fact, that there is nothing good that the world can offer you, and that is so worth it. And I want to reiterate what Jeremiah said, that it was refreshing to be in service with everybody. And you can just feel an extra little pep in everyone's step during the service. And I can't wait to be in service with everybody else. Amen. Thank you for that, brother, for that, Jeremiah. That was really good.
Amen. No problem.
Amen. Well, Sister Haley, are you on the line?
Yeah.
All right. Haley, I want to say that you have already began to develop as a really good prayer warrior, and that you are sensitive to a move of God, and don't ever change that. And I'm eagerly to hear what God has been dealing with you about. So the floor is yours. Go ahead and tell us what's on your heart.
Thank you. I wanted to start off with just thanking the pastor and the pastor's wife and any leader that's helped me through anything, or just in general, just being there is very encouraging. Before the service, with the quarantine and everything, I was very discouraged because my family was dealing with a lot of stuff. Was my mom losing the baby. It was very hard for me. I took it very hard because I felt like it was my fault, because when my mom was pregnant at first, I made some really rude comments that just because of her age, I was joking and I didn't take it seriously. And it was very tough, so I was very discouraged, and I felt a part of that was my fault for stressing my mom. So before church happened and everything, I was very bitter. I was mad and upset, and I didn't want to go at first. And I'm so happy that I went, because it was the greatest healing ever. Because with everything going on with my mom, I thought it was crazy and how everyone seemed fine when my mom talked about how healed she was and how she felt no pain talking about it and how it was a testimony for her. And I just couldn't believe it. I don't know. I just thought, like, maybe that feeling that she got, maybe she was just trying to encourage me, or maybe she did get it and I just wasn't worthy to feel that. So when I went up there to pray, and at first when the pastor was talking to us, I was listening to him and I was thinking to myself, I wonder if I do have a gift. I wonder if I have what he's talking about, because he said that everyone had one. So I was just like, maybe. So I was just listening to him out, and while he was talking, and at the end he was telling us to lift our hands and to pray, I just lifted my hands just so that I could blend in with everyone, and I just began to weep uncontrollably, and I wasn't even thinking of anything. I was just crying like crazy, and as I was crying, I walked up to the front, and I began to pray, and I had nothing in my mind. And I started speaking in tongues, which I haven't done since last time we went to church. So it was amazing. So as I began to speak in tongues, I just started to thank God and started praising him and started telling him that I was sorry for being bitter and angry at him, because it wasn't his fault. And it was true that through the loss of my mom's kid and my brother or sister, I have a testimony now that other people can relate to, and I can say that I truly feel like today I was healed, because my mom talked about that peace, and I prayed for that peace, and today I feel like I truly got it. I got the peace of God, and it was just crazy, because as I began to pray, I was telling God to send someone to pray for me, and someone did, and then when they started to pray for me, it just went all the way, and I wasn't in pain anymore. it was just amazing, because I just felt it coming off my shoulders, all the pain that I was going through just left, and they began to pray for me. All of that happened, and then Sister Clark came and started praying for me, and I just felt amazing. And right now, I'm not crying from pain. I'm crying from thankfulness that God helped me through that, because I truly felt like that was going to hurt me for the rest of my life, and I feel amazing now. So thank you for this opportunity, and I hope that's encouraging. Bye.
Thank you, Sister Haley, for being so real and for just being so open about, you know, this you know, situation that you've been in. And I'm sure that has been very encouraging to another young person or even an adult of someone that's carrying a load like that, that you can go to the altar, and that's what it's there for us to just give our burdens up, to cast every care upon Him, for He cares for you, and we are so thankful to hear, you know, that God has helped you deal with the situation and your mom and your family. Amen. That was very, very, very good. Thank you for that. And the last person that I want to bring up is Brother Arturo. Are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Arturo is one of my friends. I really appreciate Arturo. He is a good young man with a really good spirit. I've seen him go through a few things in his life as he's gotten older, and he has always had an upbeat attitude and a good spirit about him, and that's going to serve you really well in life, man. And you also have a really good head on your shoulders. I've talked to you a lot, you know, and I've talked to you a lot about just different things, different situations, about just different situations in life that people have gone through. And you can tell at a very young age that you picked up a lot of wisdom from your mom and your dad and, you know, and your family members. And you have a lot of wisdom even at a young age. You may not use it all the time, but I'm just joking. but I appreciate you, Arturo, and you have an influence with young people just because of how cool you are. And you can be a mighty leader in this youth group. And if you just, you know, you can be mightily used in the future, and I look forward to seeing what God has for you. So give us what's on your heart, man.
All right. Thank you, Sean. Thank you for those words and for this opportunity today. Well, church, I was Sean asked me earlier today to testify, and I started thinking about what I wanted to talk about. And I started thinking about, you know, often we hear these great testimonies from different people about how what God brought them from. You know, God saved them from a broken home, a home with drug abuse, you know, abusive parents, these different situations. And luckily, God, you know, as many of you know, God blessed me. I was born into this truth. My mom's side, I'm third generation. And, you know, I'm blessed for that. But you know, sometimes that does have some negatives to it. You know, with all that, it's easy to look at church, to look at all of this as something more of a tradition, something your family does. You know, I go to church on Sunday. I go to church on Wednesday, and we have our youth events on Friday nights because this is what my family does. This is what we've done since I was young. This is what we will do. And, you know, when this quarantine all happened and that's all taken away, that, you know, church on Sunday and Wednesday and our youth events, it's gone. You know, we're still having our video services and whatnot, but it's not the same. It's great, but there's just something not there. And distraction. It's great, but there's something not there about it. And it when it's all gone, you start thinking it's your tradition's been broken, your ritual has been broken, and you can't just rely on what you've been doing since you were a kid. You can't just rely on what your parents have given to you, what I've, you know, inherited through family and whatnot. You really have to make sure that you have that walk with you, with God individually. You know, services, even when we're back going to services eventually, services are great. They're great for us as a congregation, as a church, and even individuals. They will get us through things, but it will only get you through so much. It will only take you so far if when you get home, you don't have that same walk, if you don't have that same individual walk with God, the prayer life, the fasting. If you don't have that, you're not gonna make it anywhere. During this whole time, my dad has been making it a point to really encourage us to have prayer and fasting, not just as a family, but individually, to individually develop that prayer time, that where we can go to God and really, really just get close to Him and not have to rely on going to service, not having to rely on anybody else to encourage us to do it. But it's in our heart. It's not just in our brains anymore. I've been taught this since I was a kid, but take it out of my brain and put it in my heart. And, you know, with everything that's been going on, I mean, we've been taught this as, you know, since I was young, that it has to be your own. But it's something different when it has to, because there's no other option. Quarantine has had some positives to it, and that's, I would say, my biggest takeaway from all of this. And I was lucky to be in service today, and it was great. There was a great move of God. It felt so good to be back together with everybody. But I'm just, you know, making sure I don't lose what I've got during this time. Thank you.
Hey, man, that was very good, Brother Arturo. And, yes, we all need to make sure that we don't forget this time. Even as, you know, years go on, that we never forget that, it, you know, as the Lord tarries, that we don't forget this time and what we've gained out of this, the positives that we can take from that, of making this our own. Like Brother Arturo was saying, for some of us young people, for some of the young people that grew up in church, we can now say that, you know, you can walk with God on your own. And so I just want to say I am so proud of all these young people. And like Pastor has been reiterating a lot, that there has been a teaching spirit that has gotten on the church, and I want to say all of you have done really well, and I'm so proud of you, and I'm sure I'm going to be getting a text from Brother Stephen and Sister Vanessa. They're also very proud of you guys. You guys did really awesome, and I want to let you guys all know that all of you have, at least you can know that you have a talent in teaching and testifying, and don't ever get discouraged if you need to share your testimony or share something with someone that is, you know, hungry for God. Don't ever feel like you're not qualified or that you're not very good with your words. I want to let you guys all know, the five that have spoken so far, that you have done really well and that you can testify, you can teach someone, and you have it, you guys. You have something to give, and you guys have a talent in teaching and sharing these things, that what God has done for you guys. So I'm so proud of you, and I'm going to give it to Brother Vic. Brother Vic has one more testimony. We have one more testimony from a young person, but Brother Vic's going to introduce this person and talk about it a little bit. Brother Vic?
Thank you, Brother Sean. Thank you, sir. And there's a couple more things we're going to do actually here in just a minute. But first of all, I got to say, yes, I concur with Brother Sean Saylor. What powerful testimonies we're hearing tonight, church. We're already getting texts from some of our adults saying these are powerful testimonies that our kids and our young people are giving. This is exciting. One thing I want to say here, I'm going to have to disagree with Brother Sean on one little note. He mentioned earlier that they're just some good little sidekicks for Brother and Sister Stephen and Vanessa Orell. Well, I like to think of Brother Sean and Sister Jeannie more as a good, strong right hand. Praise God, because that's what they are. Praise the Lord. And with that said, yes, I am happy to introduce our next testimony speaker, and that is Sister Alina. There's a couple things we need to say. First of all, we need to give her honor and credit because she is the one that has been helping us with our scheduling of our devotions and testimony speakers. And it's a lot of work, folks. It's behind the scenes work, but she's been helping with that, and she's been tremendous. She always has a willing attitude to help in anything at all. Great spirit and a great attitude. And today after church, she came to me and she began to open her heart and express how great her appreciation and gratefulness was for being able to come to church. And it just kind of floored me, and I don't want to go any further. I'm going to let her just share her words, her feelings with her words directly. Sister Alina, I know you are there.
Can you hear me?
All right, go ahead. Yes, you loud and clear. Go ahead. I'm turning it over to you now, Sister Alina.
Perfect. Thank you. That was very, very kind, Brother Vic. I appreciate those words. Praise the Lord, Truth Church. God bless you all. It's an honor and a privilege to speak on these testimony devotions. I certainly don't take it lightly because they are so, so special, and they've been such a blessing. So I am very glad to be speaking to you all this evening. First of all, I really want to give a very, very special thanks to Pastor and Sister Clark for allowing the youth to have service today. I cannot even, words aren't even enough to express how thankful I am for them letting us come to service today. So thank you very much, Pastor and Sister Clark. It meant the world. And I know it was just the youth today, but Truth Church, pretty soon it's going to be all of us together in that sanctuary, and it's going to be amazing. I want to read this scripture, which I'm sure you're all familiar with. We've heard it many times. It's two scriptures, actually. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. So verse 24 says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. And the scripture says, these words that really stand out to me in this verse is not forsaking. And forsaking meaning like to leave or to abandon or just give up on it, right? The assembling of ourselves together. Now, we know that that's not the case for us. We haven't forsaken the assembling of ourselves together, but unfortunately, because of COVID, we haven't been able to really come together and gather and have church. But we most definitely have not forsaken it. Now, another thing I want to add without trying to, like, change the word of God, I'm not trying to do that whatsoever, but not just not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but also not taking for granted the assembling of ourselves together. And I hope it's okay that I said it that way as well. But it's really important that we don't do that as well. I'm sure we've all heard the phrase, you don't know what you've got until it's gone. And I thought of this today after service because I was just really touched to be there today. And although I do feel that even before quarantine, I was appreciative of True Church even beforehand. But after walking in those doors today to have service, I just had this double dose, triple dose of appreciation for what we have at True Church. We have something so special. And when I walked in before service officially started, I stood in the back and I looked to my left and then I looked to my right at everyone who was there, and everyone had these big glistening smiles on their faces. And instantly, something began to just well up inside of me. And I felt the Holy Ghost so strong. And I wanted, forgive me, I wanted to just weep right then and there. But I kept my composure. I know nobody would have judged me if I started crying right then and there, but I did keep my composure, and eventually I made my way to the front pew, and the service was just about to start. And I can't even explain it. I sat there, and I kept looking around, and I kept looking at everyone's faces, and I said, Lord, I cannot keep my composure anymore. And this waterfall of tears streamed down my face. And when that service started, I could not contain myself. I just began to worship and praise God. Just knowing that I was in that altar on that purple carpet, or burgundy, I'm not sure which one it is, but in a service with the people of God, I just let loose. I completely let loose. And I've worshiped many times, but today was just different. There's something special, very, very special, about coming together with the people of God and being in a service with them. And church, I don't want to minimize being in service today and what we experienced today, but I know for a fact the day when we all come together, every single one of us, to have service, we're going to bring the house down with the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Thank you, Brother Vic. That's all I have.
And how powerful that was, Sister Alina. What a great word we heard tonight, church. We just heard a testimony, a devotion, and a preaching message all rolled into one. That was powerful. I made a few notes here. A double dose, a triple dose of the anointing of the power of God. We're a blessed church. And she brought it up again, as she told me earlier today. She said, Brother Vic, look, what an honor it is to be able to stand on this burgundy carpet pointing at the altar, the carpet at the altar. You know, church, we don't think about these seemingly small things in the past, but I believe we're going to begin, boy, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost saying this. We're going to see things differently. Sister Lena just said it. We're going to begin to behave differently. And we can go on and on about the other testimonies. Jeremiah, we saw it from the top. A big old smile on that young man's face. I thought, my goodness, did he have his Cheerios this morning? No, it was the Holy Ghost. And you heard it in his voice and in his testimony tonight. And all of our young people, my goodness, talent. Pastor Clark talked about it today. We each have a talent. We have a word to give. And that's what's happening. We're seeing that materialize before our eyes. This is so exciting. Praise God. I'm going to stop now because we have a special surprise, everyone. We have a special guest speaker. Nobody likes to hear a crying baby. Okay, I'm going to be honest. But we have an exception tonight, church. We want to hear a crying baby. So with that said, I believe I have two special people that are unmuting themselves as we speak. Brother and Sister Orel, are you there now?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. We get to hear from you. Go ahead and tell us about your baby, your new life as a dad, and go right ahead, sir.
Amen. Praise the Lord, church. No crying baby right now, thank God. He's sleeping in mommy's arms. We love you, young people. We love the church. We saw on the live stream this morning the young people there and some of the young people pray singing. And as the service went by, saw some young people running the aisles. Amen. It was so, so good to see our young people in church. And you can just feel the anointing of God. Listening to the service and watching the service, and Pastor Clark preached an amazing message. I'm glad I heard all about all the afterwards praying. The young people were praying, and then tonight the testimonies. Listening to the testimonies is absolutely amazing. It touched our heart to know that the young people are God is doing a work in our young people, and during this time, me and my wife have talked about it. You know, how are young people doing, and, you know, how is this affecting them? And it's so good to know that, you know, listening to Pastor Clark's message that God is doing a work and God is multiplying talents with our young people and bringing forth. And yes, it might hurt a little bit going through this time, but it was so, so good to see the young people. I'm glad they were there. Thank you for Brother Sean and Sister Jeannie. We love them. Couldn't ask for any better assistance than them. And we mean that from the bottom of our heart. We're close friends. We hang out. It's not just something that we do for church, but we get together often, even on off nights. And they're truly precious friends. We love them. Talking about Matthias for a little bit, he was born Matthias, not Matthias, Matthias. Brother Aguilar calls him Matthias. I guess that's the Spanish version. But Matthias, David Orel, was born, thank God. It was 2 weeks late, but thank God he popped out of the oven. And May 13th at 10:01 a.m., there were some complications going in. We got there that Tuesday night at the hospital, well, Wednesday morning at 12:30 in the morning. And he wasn't delivered until almost 10 hours later. Heartbeat dropped. He was effaced, which is he was backwards in the womb. Doctor tried to get him out. His heartbeat was dropping. So thank God we had people praying. Pastor Clark were praying, close friends, people from the church. And the healthy boy delivered, thank God. We stayed at the hospital for a couple days, didn't get home till Friday night. Around 5 or 6, had to stay a little bit longer because he had some jaundice, and the levels that caused jaundice, or like Berealane or whatever causes jaundice, was a little high, so they had to put him in a phototherapy. It was like this bright light in the incubator. That was hard to see. He had to stay in there for 12 hours besides feeding and changing, so that was hard. They had to put these little goggles on him. So it wouldn't, you know, hurt his eyes. And he kept taking the goggles off. His hand his hands. He just moves his hands all over the place and grabs at things already and kept pulling the goggles down. I run over there, turn the light off, and put it on. So that night, me and my wife took turns. I stood there for about 3 hours just staring at the incubator and making sure he didn't take the goggles off at night. And then my wife took a turn. But that was hard. But thank God the next day his levels were low enough. The jaundice levels were low enough to be discharged from the hospital. And it is an experience. It really is. Being a daddy, being a mommy, having the responsibility of a soul on our hands. And, yes, the sleepless nights are real. my wife got less sleep than me. We finally got a different bassinet. That works amazing. If you have a new baby, get the Halo bassinet. So once we got that, I got a little bit more sleep, but probably averaging 2 or 3 hours a night, if that. But it's getting better, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. I'm going to have my wife speak at this time.
Praise the Lord, church. Young people, it's so good to hear from you guys and what God is doing. It just makes us so happy. More than what we can express. And I want to emphasize what my honey said about Sean and Jeannie. We are so thankful for them, and we appreciate them from the bottom of our hearts and love them very much. This new little bundle of joy that we have, he is the absolute most precious thing ever. And it really makes you understand the love of God. Because I don't know how we can truly understand unless we ourselves have to take care of somebody else where their soul is our responsibility. And there's just a love that you have for a child, your own child that comes into this world that you brought, where if they're in pain, you want to do everything that you can to just take it away. And you don't like to see them hurting and crying, and you're just, You just want to help. You just want to be there and just cause everything to be okay, but sometimes you can't. And it hurts. And when he was in the phototherapy, that was the hardest thing, when them telling us you cannot take your baby out unless you're feeding him or changing him. And I'm like, great, we just got our newborn baby, and you're telling us we can't hold him anymore. And that was hard, seeing them take him and put him in their and he kept taking his goggles off, like my husband said. And so we're like, you know what? Well, we have to stay up and take turns and rotate sleep so he can be safe and his eyes won't get damaged by this, you know, therapy session. Then that's what we're going to do, whatever it takes to keep our child safe. And coming home, and the sleepless nights are absolutely 1,000% sleepless. And there's no getting around that. But above it all, it is the most rewarding that you can ever feel, and just the love that we have for him and just wanting to make sure he's safe and, you know, just do what's right for him and train him in the ways of the Lord. We're just so thankful for what God is doing. That's all I have, Brother Vic.
Thank you, Brother Stephen. Thank you, Sister Vanessa. And gracias, Matias David Orel. That may sound better, sister. I don't know. We'll argue about that later.
Matias
David Orel. Praise God. Church, what a powerful, powerful day and night that this has been. We're blessed, church. We're blessed. And our youth are a powder keg that's about to explode. Revival is here, and we are excited about the things that are going to begin to take place in the next days and weeks to come. You know, why don't we just thank God together one more time? Let's lift up our voice in praise right now. Thank God for what he's doing with us and with our church. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your anointing, for your blessing, for your touch upon our young people, upon all of our people, from the youngest child to the oldest senior. You're working in each and every one of us. You're developing us. You're perfecting us. You're helping us in every way. And we thank you for it, Lord Jesus. We thank you for this great anointing. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said amen. And with that said, we want to remind everyone to be back on this same line, this conference call line, tomorrow morning for our morning manna devotion. We'll be sending out a text tree with some specifics on that tomorrow morning. With that said, God bless all of you. Have a great night. Amen.